Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Joining us right now is Alexander Zalbin, managing editor over at Decider.com. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Wendy. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, let's do some entertainment news. It's been reported actor Treat Williams died in a motorcycle accident.
This is awful news. If you didn't know Treat Williams, you probably saw him back in Hair. That's the classic that he's really known for. He was also on Everwood on the WB/CW and was great in that. I know him from Deep Rising, one of my favorite schlocky, super fun horror movies. But this is a terrible story. He was out safely riding in his motorcycle, 71 years old, wearing a helmet and everything. And basically this guy crashed into him and he died later on. We don't have all the details currently, but it's a really, really sad loss. It's totally unnecessary. And reportedly, both through his Twitter presence and just people who knew him, he was just the nicest, sweetest guy. So a tragedy all around.
A very nice looking guy, a very good actor. And I was curious as to where the name Treat came from. And I looked it up. Richard Treat Williams was born in Stamford, Connecticut in 1951. And Treat is a Welsh name that has been in his family for generations. He was amazing and only 71 years old. So not good.
So sad. Such a sad story.
Other sad news, although he didn't die, but he's leaving the Wheel of Fortune. It's about time. Pat Sajak says bye-bye.
Yeah, he's only done 41 seasons, though, so I don't know. I feel like he can eke out a 42nd or something like that. Yeah, he announced he's leaving. He's going to be leaving the show. He'll be doing the full season. And he still will be involved. I believe he's going to do another 3 years as a consultant on the show behind the scenes. But that is an epic run for anybody on any sort of show. Of course, the conversation will get turned immediately to who is going to host Wheel of Fortune. Are they going to do a Jeopardy-style thing where they cycle through a bunch of guest hosts? Are they going to get my pick? This is where my head immediately went. They should just get Vanna White. She's been there the entire time. Give her the promotion to host. She knows the show. I think that would be fun.
Okay, she would be great at it, and people would be happy that they put a woman to host it. But Isn't it time for her to retire as well?
Well, probably. She's a decade younger than Pat Sajak, so she's still got a little time there. But I don't know. She's been in the show so long, I feel like give her something different to do now that Pat is going to be gone, rather than cycle in another man and then have her still turning those letters as she has been doing. I think she did guest host, if I remember correctly, once, and everybody loved it. So why not?
I like the way you think, Alex. I really do. And the CNN is reporting, and I kind of forgot this, I think. Pat Sajak was a Chicago native. I didn't realize that.
Mm.
I had forgotten that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he wanted.
Maybe he's going to move back to Chicago.
Oh, perhaps. He won a Daytime Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011, earned 3 additional Emmys for his work hosting Wheel. And yes, Chicago native. In other news, Josh Gad is defending Disney. They are using Robin Williams' voice in a new short. Explain this.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of unreleased audio that Robin Williams did when he performed the genie in Aladdin. The tricky part here is that Robin Williams very specifically stipulated in his will that he didn't want his image or likeness to be used in any films or advertisements for 25 years after his death. That said, Josh Gad, fired back is probably the wrong word, but responded to concerns over this and people who were upset, saying, "We talked to Robin Williams' estate. They approved this. They're good for this. We're using this audio." And basically, the short film is celebrating Disney's 100 years. It's going to have Olaf from Frozen, the Josh Gad voices talking to the genie from Aladdin. I definitely have mixed feelings about this, even if the estate approved of it, so I understand where people are coming from. But I'm sure at the same time they're trying to do it as a tribute to Robin Williams and his legacy, not necessarily just, using the last dregs of what he had left.
Yeah. That is an interesting story. It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Sirott again today. Bob returns tomorrow. And we're in the midst of talking to Alexander Zalbin, managing editor over at Decider.com. Dean's off today, and Dean's Entertainment Report is sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. Alex, we have a show that I feel like I haven't seen in forever. Black Mirror is coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been several years. I think it last aired in 2019, but we're going to get a sixth season of this sci-fi anthology series on Netflix on Thursday. It's five new episodes. We don't know anything about it, basically, at this point, as usual with the show. Other than there's going to be the five episodes, they could be 10 minutes long, they could be an hour and a half long, they could be 2 hours long each. But we do know who's involved in them: Aaron Paul, Zazie Beetz, Salma Hayek, Michael Cera, Josh Hartnett, Annie Murphy, Kate Mara, Rob Delaney, probably dozens of others and surprises. If you don't know, Black Mirror is usually very satirical. It pokes fun at something big happening in culture. It is on Netflix, and it looks like there is an episode that's going to kind of make fun of Netflix a little bit, so that should be interesting to check out. But they also get very dark and nihilistic often, so if you're into sci-fi, if you're curious to check out an all-star anthology series, five episodes on Netflix on Thursday.
It's kind of sort of like an Outer Limits, Twilight Zone. No way near as good, but different. Yeah. And it's killing me that all these celebrities have signed up to be a part of it.
I'm not the biggest fan of Black Mirror, to be honest, but I do think there are episodes that are absolutely phenomenal. You know, its miss rate to me is bigger than its hit rate. But if you do watch the hit episodes, I can see why people do it. It's also a fun, goofy thing to do. Sometimes you get to watch yourself die in a spectacular way. So maybe they're signing up for a short shoot. That's fun. And, you know, the fans of it are pretty passionate. So there you go.
I've seen every episode, so I'll tune in to find out about the five new ones on Netflix coming back Thursday, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
All right. Is there a new Star Trek series, or is this just a series that is continuing?
Well, I know you're more of a Star Wars person, but there is the other Star franchise, to say that. And Star Trek Strange New Worlds comes back to Paramount Plus on Thursday. It's just one episode a week for 10 weeks. But this is a series with a modern budget and look that harkens back to the original series with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and everybody else. So every episode is its own done-in-one adventure. There's light emotional threads that go over it. But if you've been out of Star Trek for a while, if you haven't watched since Shatner, or maybe you watched Next Generation and you enjoyed that, it's very much like that versus a heavily serialized modern streaming show. It stars Ensign Mount as Captain Pike, the captain on the Enterprise before Kirk, so it's all leading up to Kirk. And this is not exactly a spoiler, people know this, but there's a new actor, Paul Wesley, who people might know from The Vampire Diaries, another thing. Who's playing a much younger version of James T. Kirk, who shows up in episodes. And the big new addition, which I was very excited about, I've seen six episodes of the new season, and they're great. Carol Kane shows up in a bizarre recurring role in this season. She's very fun and gives the show a great off-kilter energy. It's the sort of thing, even if you didn't watch season one, though I recommend you go back and check it out, you can jump right into season two because, again, done in one adventures every single time.
All right, and you said Carol Kane is who's in it.
Carol Kane, yes.
She, from Taxi, she's very funny.
Yeah, she is. I don't want to give any spoilers about her
character. Yeah, don't.
It's a particularly weird Carol Kane character.
All right, that is good to know. Can you please explain something to me? Because I keep hearing about Vanderpump Rules. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what it is. Can you just give me a brief overview of what the heck everybody's talking about?
Sure, I can give you a broad overview. This is a very long-running Bravo TV show involving a bunch of Bravo celebrities, I believe it's called. The big deal, the reason that people are talking about it, is one of the most beloved couples in the show, as far as I understand it. And mind you, this is one of those deep dives where when we talk about it in our morning meetings at Decider, it's, okay, very briefly, here's, and then 10 minutes later, we're not even done talking about it. But basically two of the characters cheated with each other from one of the fan favorite couples that came out very late in the game. There's been more revelations and riffs recently about how long this affair has been going on and how much has been going on through the show. There's also bigger questions about how much does the producers actually know about this, because they're filming and miking people all the time. So did they allow an affair to go on for maybe a decade, potentially, without necessarily saying anything about it? So that's the long and short of it. It is changing the game for Bravo in terms of how they approach these reality shows. They have to certainly reassess their process, and it's certainly reassessing how longtime fans of the show are viewing it. But good news for Bravo, ratings are way up. Everybody's talking about it. They're doing a spinoff called Vanderpump Villa, where it takes a couple of characters and throws them in a house together. So Bravo's doing great, even if the personal lives of these people are at absolute shambles.
And this is for real.
This is a reality show. I got to say, it makes me feel very icky, because it is, and I know this is part and parcel for the way the reality shows work, but these are people that lives, they say, have been ruined by this affair that really happened in the background. So it goes beyond reality show shenanigans and producers building stuff up with music. It's people who are distraught and upset and really digging into each other. And I'm very happy for the people that like watching this stuff. I never want to yuck anybody's yum, but it is definitely not my yum.
All right. Well, I am totally avoiding it then. I got enough to watch, because great shows like The Boys and The Righteous Gemstones are coming back. I can't wait for that. Alexander Zalbin is the managing editor over at Decider.com. A pleasure talking to you, and thank you for helping out this week. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And you can go to Decider.com and read all you want to read about movies and shows and everything else.